friends, this is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church, and we are welcoming you to this episode in our Walking with Jesus podcast. Today we're talking about worship, and we're here with Kathy Gibson. Say hi to everyone, Kathy.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and Kathy is our choir director and our worship chair. And what else are you here amongst us?
I also lead worship at the 8:15 service when we are able to sing.
That's right. And we're so hoping one day soon to begin singing. And if people are asking the question, when are we going to begin singing? The answer is, we don't know.
Unfortunately, I would love to be able to sing next week, but that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm.
So there are so many Bible verses that encourage us to praise the Lord in worship. And I was going to read Psalm 150, and it reads like this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You just be in prayer with me for a minute. Lord, we ask that you put within our hearts that spirit of praise. Also, Lord, as we strive to give you the fitting praise and honor that you should have, we understand this also is a gift and a grace from you. So let your spirit be the source of how we praise and how we lift you up in worship, and just lead your people in this church and in the churches of any who listen to turn their hearts toward you in worship and in thanksgiving. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, Kathy, I'm glad that you're here with us, and you were looking in God's word there, and the word tells us to worship and praise, so what did you find there when you looked in the Bible about worship and in praise?
Well, I found many references to particularly three different words that I looked up. And according to my Takarta Bible app in the King James Version, and of course, these words come up differently in different versions of the Bible, depending on what your favorite one is. But the word sing is used 169 times. And that word sing goes everywhere from Exodus, when Moses first sang a song right after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea and all of the Egyptians were killed. And it goes all the way to Revelation with that word. Praise is used 259 times, and worship is used 188 times. And that word goes all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So worship and praise is just throughout the Bible.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's interesting. Now I'm going to have to look. I wonder if the first time singing is mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus, in the context that, you know, giving freedom to the people of Israel. I mean, certainly people sang before then, but it's always interesting to me where a word or a concept comes up first in Scripture. But boy, that's a rabbit trail. It's so hard. This is such a big subject. It's hard to stay on task, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I know that. Now and then I will run into people and say, you know, why do you think God tells us to praise him and to give worship? And in fact, there's some people who are saying, why does God need worship? Why does he need thanked? Have you ever run into that, or why do you think we're instructed to worship?
Well, I've never run into anyone who doesn't think we should worship, but I mean, we just throughout the Scriptures, we are commanded to worship and praise the Lord. In First Chronicles, it says, and to stand every morning and thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. And even in Revelation 19, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. I mean, God is just so amazing, and he does everything for us. He created us. He gives us every breath. He makes our hearts beat. And so I cannot think of a reason why anyone would not want to worship the Lord. And I realize that at times when things are not going well, it may be harder to worship the Lord than at others or praise him. It's difficult to praise him sometimes when you're really going through a struggle. But we are commanded over and over and over again. I mean, he is the Almighty God and needs to be praised.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with that, obviously. I sort of live with a kind of a bit of a naysayer in my head, because I've sought out and talked to people who are not following Jesus, and some of them also are very cranky, and they will even say things like, well, you know, why should God need people to tell him how wonderful he is? But like most criticisms of faith that people have, this is easily answered. You know, he tells us to praise and worship him because it helps us to praise and worship him. And yes, he also could tell us to praise and worship him because that is natural for us to do. It is a very human thing for us to do. And in other words, it helps us to live the full human life in his image that we are supposed to live. It even helps us to reflect God's image, where the Son praises and gives glory to the Father, and the Father praises and gives glory to the Son. It gives us that picture inside us of what is going on at the throne. And also it is just natural. No, God doesn't need flattered. But if you see something wonderful, you want to praise it. You just do. If you read, yes, a great book, you're likely to pester all your friends and say, you need to read this book. If you hear a wonderful song, you're likely to tell your friends, you've got to listen to this song. And that's the most natural thing in the world, and which is where, you know, the urge for us to praise comes from that. And so also people have found it to be healing. That to say, no, this has been a terrible week, or there's been a catastrophe, or my heart is broken, and I'm going to go in and I'm to praise. And if you give it your best effort, you discover that it's one step in the healing and in letting God's grace and God to help you. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I liked, you know, in Old Testament, I noticed I would sometimes make marks just in some of the verses. Yeah, Second Chronicles has these where they were organizing the worship, I was in 5:13, and it said, it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving. And so in other words, there were people set aside to thank God continually. And now, yes, there's an interesting, what a good reason to have a worshiping community to have a community altogether, that there would be people whose job it was to thank God and to lift him up, you know, all the time. We get so busy doing everything else, and it seems we can do all sorts of things. I mean, we can make another 47 kinds of phones every year. Well, how about if we have in our life people who are always worshiping God and lifting this up? That's been...
I think that would be one of the happiest jobs to have. I think I could do that. That would be amazing. It's mm-hmm. funny that you mentioned Second Chronicles 5, because with the trumpeters, at least in the version that I read, there were 120 priests with trumpets. So mm-hmm. I cannot even imagine how loud that would have been to have 120 men playing trumpets all at the same time.
Yeah. And there is that thing that, worship could be loud and worship could be lavish. And I found another one. It was First Chronicles 23 and verse 30. And they were to stand every morning thanking and praising God, and likewise at evening. And so it was this their job to thank and praise God.
Yes.
Now worship for us, the people who come to church week in and week out, of course, they'll always, you're music director and I'm preaching, so they'll always tell us how nice it was, right? Well, have you found that true?
Yes.
Yes, they will. But there's favorite times in worship and favorite seasons. Do you have a You want to tell us about maybe a favorite day in worship or a favorite season for worship for you?
Well, of course, Christmas is just such a highlight, and Easter as well. But I think Christmas is one of my favorite seasons of the year, and the Christmas carols are just so meaningful. There is so much scripture and so much biblical truth laced amongst the old hymns and the Christmas carols that I think Christmas songs are probably my favorite. I'm always anxious to get started to sing them, and I'm never ready to stop. And there are some Christmas carols like Joy to the World and a few of those that O Come All Ye Faithful that we could sing year round. And on rare occasions, we do sing those at times other than Christmas. But then, of course, you have Easter Sunday with Christ the Lord is risen today and up from the grave he arose. And they are just so, so uplifting. But I think one of my favorite it's difficult to say favorite, but one of the most meaningful services to me is the Good Friday service, because the songs that are involved in the Good Friday service are frequently songs that we don't sing very often. And no, they are not happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, sacred head, thou wounded, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just such, it creates such a mood and such a feeling that it brings me a little bit closer to Jesus dying on the cross and what he did for me. And no, that is not a happy time, but it's a very meaningful time for me. So I would say those three are my favorites, but I just love to sing, so I could do it all the time.
Yeah, people should notice that Joy to the World, oh, that works almost any Sunday you can think, you know.
That's right.
And the Christ the Lord is risen today with the chorus of Alleluia. You could point out to people, is there any other place or any other group of people you know who can sing Alleluia? You know, a complicated Alleluia, that whole Alleluia. It doesn't have any other context. If you go to the bank, they're not singing Alleluia. If you, the people working at the Dollar General are not singing Alleluia, you know, but
probably not.
Christians have an Alleluia to sing, and that's one of the great, you know, it's kind of a revelation when you think about that, you know, that we have this great God to praise and this great joy that's come in our life. And I share with you the Christmas worship meaningful, of course. Christmas Eve, not only from my childhood, you know, to be in church on Christmas Eve, and the reality of the feeling of worshiping alongside your family with your mom and dad, you know, dad singing for me in a beautiful baritone voice, and my mom's voice. My mom was 70 years developing her voice; she finally got it. But when I was younger, it was. Oh, it was a bit screechy, maybe. I don't know. but just to be alongside them, all of us breathing the same air and saying the same words it draws you into the presence of God and makes you part of his worshiping people. And so I, you know, this has always, you know, it's lifted me up. I can remember watching so many choir numbers, so many soloists, and only now thinking of how hard people prepared, you know, say to bring that solo to the church that I was worshiping in. And I didn't know about that until I got to choir practice. So you're anxious one of these days to start choir practice again.
Oh, I certainly am. Yes. They cannot come too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me about the choir here a little bit, because I've not heard the choir sing. I'm past
you here have,
July.
You have not. You have not. Well, our choir has changed and grown, and it has had its ups and downs throughout the years. I grew up here at Broadway, so I have been a part of the choir since I was at least in junior high, I would say. There was a young woman who had a group of teenagers that we sang in the choir once or twice a month in addition to the adult choir. Our Wesleyan choir has over the years has gone from maybe 50 to 55 people. to maybe 18 to 20. And unfortunately, that's kind of the trend in some choirs, at least in some churches. However, there are huge choirs out there like the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, et cetera, et cetera. But music has just been such an important part of Broadway and Broadway's worship. And I don't think that's just because I've been involved in it, but over the years, there are, have been so many people that are just great, such great supporters of the choir. I can think of several ladies in particular right now that that when the choir starts singing again, they will just be thrilled to death to be back in church and have the choir singing. The choir sings right now sings a wide variety of music, some fast, some slow. I try to focus very much on the words of the piece, but at the same time, it has to have a singable tune. If it, no matter how good the words are, if the tune is just here and there and everywhere, it just doesn't work very well, and the choir doesn't like singing it either. We do a lot of Southern gospel singing, but we certainly do not limit our songs to Southern gospel. There is a wide variety of music that we sing, and we feel that it's just so such an important part of the worship service to bring people closer to the Lord, to prepare them for what your message is going to be. And the Lord frequently works it out where the song that we sing perfectly fits with the message that you are bringing, even though when I planned the music, I had no idea what message you were going to bring. But God just works all of that out in his miraculous ways.
Yeah, that happens a lot where we find that it goes right with the message. I also am aware that you know, on a given Sunday, the sermon isn't going to just you know, touch somebody right to the depths of their soul and give them all the help they need. But because sometimes in worship, that task is being done already by the music.
And, yes. And
we probably, one of our weaknesses is we got the idea in our head that we could sort of nag people into the kingdom of heaven, and if we just kept preaching at them long enough, they would sort out. And there's something to that, but we have to remember we're supposed to sing too, and people can. Their faith can, they can, there's people who've come to faith in the act of singing, and that's when they really understood, you know, the call of God on their heart, the forgiveness that Jesus brings, the new life, and it's come through the music. I've sung in choirs before. I noticed two things, and now I guess if anything's deep, it might be deep, or if you watch a choir singing and listen to them singing, all the mouths moving in unison, all the people watching the conductor, all the carefully saying and expressing the words and their meaning. If you think about what demonstrates the image of God in us, that we're made in the image of God. What separates us from the beasts that roam and perish? It isn't that a lot of raccoons sing bad choir music. They don't sing it at all, you know?
I hope not.
It is a particularly, you see a choir or an orchestra playing, this is a particularly human activity. In other words, yes. It stamps as this is something God has given to us. I mean, a lot of birds in a tree can sing together, but that doesn't even compare to the attention and focus to expressing one meaning, singing one part, and doing it all together as we do. And so again, if you want to find what separates us just from other creatures that roam the world looking for something to eat, you know, this is one of those things.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a great gift that God has given us.
Yeah. And I found choir practice to be one of the most spiritually refreshing experiences for me ever. I as pastor, I could sit in choir practice, and it wasn't my thing to run. That was nice, you know. In other words, the the oversight of the situation. That was refreshing. I wasn't in charge of that. And also, I had time just to focus my mind on the words, on then saying the words well, saying the words in, you know, in tune, in the tenor or voice that, you know, line that I was supposed to, and actually think about those words and then express them with, you know, express them with my body and my breath. So that I found that I could go to choir practice and come away so close to God, just that he had helped, you know, allowed me to speak to him in prayer and song, you know, while that was going on.
Yes. I have always loved choir practice. In fact, years ago, when I was working full time, there would be, of course, days when I came home and things had not gone very well at work. And if it was Wednesday, the family was happy for me to go to choir practice.
Oh,
because
yes.
Whether I was a member of the choir or whether I was directing the choir, I would come home from choir practice in a much better mood. They were very happy for me to go to choir practice. But it is a very, very emotional thing, because the music that we sing touches our hearts. It touches our hearts so deeply. And there are songs that we sing that half the choir will be in tears. And that's during a rehearsal. There's many, many times when I just have chills going up and down my back in the middle of a rehearsal, not necessarily singing on Sunday morning or in an evening or whenever we're singing, but during rehearsal, where the Lord just blesses me just to the point where I can just hardly stand it. And so we, as a choir, we are such a family. We have become such a family over the years. And when we get new family members, we just welcome them right in and draw them in. We spend a lot of time in prayer, and we are a family, and we care about one another, and we love the Lord and love to praise the Lord with singing.
Yeah. Now, I think also something that happens with the choir, and I think maybe people who come to church and they're not saying the choir and they're not preaching or that, the person who's singing, and it's so much more also with the person who might have a solo piece that they're bringing to church, has to prepare for worship.
Yes.
If you're listening, if all you can get up for Sunday morning is just to slump in there and just be there, that's fine. God bless you. It's good. It's probably what you need to do. But for most of us, we probably should beware of the idea that we can just sort of slump into worship and just be there without much in the way of preparing ourselves, of getting ourselves into a mind to heed God, to be fully present, not just mentally someplace else. And that even coming to worship takes some effort. The soloist or the musician knows this, because you actually do need to prepare to be in church to be in church the right way.
Definitely.
So I imagine you now and then spring up on people and say, I think you should sing a solo. What sort of reaction do you get?
the answer is with terrified eyes going, No, I cannot do that. Yeah. But I try not to push anyone into singing a solo, but if I can get them into a duet or a trio or something where there are other people around them to support them, of course, I spend extra time with the soloists, and especially those who feel that they need it. Some soloists, you can just give them a solo, and you know that they're going to practice it on their own, and it's going to be perfect the very next time they come into to rehearsal. But there are some soloists who just some people who really don't think of themselves as soloists. And I try to spend more time with them and encourage them. And they are just praising the Lord. I mean, it is praying in song, praying in music.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. When the person has the solo, it can be very good if you think about it. If you ask somebody who sings well and has done it a lot, That's good. If you ask somebody who hasn't done it very much and has to really try, you could say to yourself, well, how hard will they pray? They will pray very hard.
They will, definitely, yes.
And that's a good thing in itself, yeah.
Yeah, so. I've seen folks that their knees are just knocking so badly that they have to hold on to something or they're going to fall down.
Yeah, but, and I think for these people, they have a special day in worship. And
yes.
Because they had to be just, they had to be present in worship in a lot different way than they had before. And for very few people, is it a, it's been a while since I've run into somebody who just seemed like they like showing off and singing. In fact, nobody comes to mind, you know, most of us right. are at that point where I'm just hoping to do my best for the people and for God. I think about the only thing you might have some thoughts about, you know, we do worship every Sunday and the year repeats. We have Easter and we have Christmas and we have all, you know, the special Sundays that come about. Is there something anybody should know about how that we can avoid just feeling flat, kind of feeling like, well, here I am again in church. I don't know.
I would say music has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. Because there is such a variety in music. Again, fast and slow and praise songs and old hymns. And there is such a tremendous variety that maybe it's just because I'm musically inclined, but I cannot imagine being bored with the music in the church if it is being done prayerfully and if you are allowing the Lord to lead and direct you in the songs that should be sung. I look forward, we were talking about Christmas and Easter. I look forward to Advent and look forward to the time of Christmas. It's not, oh dear, Christmas is coming again, I have to sing these same old songs. Same way with Easter. But the hymns and the songs, they just talk about so much about God and how awesome he is and our faith, letting our faith grow in him and worshiping and praising him for who he is, that I just think it's such an important part of a worship service. And it varies during the worship service as well. I like to start out, and again, because of COVID, we haven't been able to sing, so you don't know my patterns in doing music in worship services. But we like to start out with something fast and exciting and get people to wake up and think, you know, oh, this is great. I am really glad I'm here today. But by the end of the service, much more introspective. And have a much quieter type of music where you're thinking within yourself. It goes along with the prayers at the end of your sermon to draw us closer to the Lord. So I think variety is the answer to all of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you're right. It's such a peculiar time with the pandemic is that I should have, you know, heard what, if normally coming as a new pastor in July, you would have pulled out all the best stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
And I would have said, oh, this is what this church is capable of, was gifted for in worship. Well, we have, I guess we could say, rather than that we lost that, is we have all that to look forward to. So
yes, definitely. I thought in the summer and early fall, oh, we cannot get through Christmas without having singing, congregational singing. But we did. We made it. It wasn't easy, but we made it. And so now I'm thinking along the veins of Easter. Oh, wouldn't it be absolutely glorious if on Easter morning we would come in and be able to sing congregational songs. And I realize that there are churches that have never stopped singing congregationally, but we are trying to be respectful and careful. And we don't want to step out of line or frighten anyone or keep someone from coming and worshiping here at Broadway because we are singing. So we will wait until the authorities tell us, and until God tells us, it is time to start singing. But how glorious it would be to come in on Easter morning and be able to sing.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, this is such fun, but we're probably about at the length of time, as I've said before, that you can expect a reasonable person to want to listen to you and I talk. And though, of course, we all have families and they can't get enough of us. Isn't that true? So, but is there anything else you want to share, Kathy?
And then the I think we're good. And I would actually enjoy coming back sometime, maybe a few months down the road. I don't want to wear people out, but when we are coming back and singing again, to do this again. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. And thank you all of you for listening. And then Kathy was going to close us in prayer. How would that be?
Well, most gracious Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for this day. We thank you for the very breath that you give us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for going to the cross for us, taking our sin. And we thank you for the promise that you have given us of heaven forever and ever for those who have accepted you as Savior and Lord, who believe in you. Lord, we thank you for creating music because you are the one that created music. Whether it's the birds or the coyotes or whatever, Lord, you created us to make sounds. And you created humans to sing praises to you. Lord, we cannot praise you and worship you enough. 24/7 would be adequate for the amount of praise that we should be giving you for what you have done for us, for what you continue to do for us. Lord, we just thank you. We worship you. We trust you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we say amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast and here with Kathy Gibson. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Pastor.
And we just urge you to check back in, my friends who are listening, to the next podcast as we discuss walking with Jesus with Pastor and folks at Broadway Methodist Church. So God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen.